explained before that Stanley Donen was, for example, was a dancer himself, and as such, had a probably very good idea of what it is that both what he wanted from you and what the problems endemic to a musical comedy were. But I was wondering about directors who maybe were not that familiar with those very specialized techniques and wouldn't understand.
Well, Coppola was not familiar with them, and he kept saying all the time, "This is the first musical I've done. I don't know what." And Joe Lennon said the same thing. And I would, when I thought anything that I could say would be of any help, I'd always say it. And they'd listen. They sometimes Coppola would say, "Well, why? I don't see why." you know, I said, "Well, you wanted a dance in a certain spot or something." And I said, "Well, I haven't rehearsed that. We haven't got." "Mm-hmm. You haven't? Why not?" I said, "Well, that's what we haven't had any time." He said, "Well, why do you have to rehearse that?" I said, "Because that's you have to rehearse it. You know."
Mm-hmm. That it's such a difficult, complicated kind of film to make a musical film that I wondered whether you had to sort of like teach directors often what the problems were.
Well, most of the time we've had men who had done music, but Francis hadn't, but he was musically educated, you know.
Yes, father. I know. He plays an instrument very well.
He plays a tuba.
Yes. I wasn't going to say it just that way.
He sounds so funny. loves the tuba. And then his father's musical director.
Yeah.
So he knows musically about what's going on, but he has a new look at it, a new feel about it. And he just doesn't know how that happens, how you get that effect. And he had other thoughts about how he wanted his numbers to look, and he was quick to say that certain things about, you know, the chorus effects and how he wanted. I said, "Well, look, come and take a look at what we're working on here when we did get a chance to do it. Come again, because I don't want you screaming your head off when we get out on the set that you didn't know what was coming." So he'd come and he'd look, and then he'd say, "Yeah, that's all right, that's all right, but can't you do this or can't you do that?" So, you know, things like that. And we'd say, "Yeah, we'll do that, we'll work on that, all right," so forth. But I mean, I like that from a director. I always ask directors to come and see what's going, so that when we get on the set with it, it isn't something they've never seen. I like to improve of it as we go along, because I like to please everybody. And if there's something that is impossible, that they say, "Why so-and-so?" I say, "Well, you can't do it, I'll have to explain it." But I never had any complications about things like that. They usually know that I know what I'm trying to get. Since they got me, they got to live with it some way.
What do you think of motion picture musicals today, the ones that are being made are released?
Well, I think they're terrific. I think haven't seen this new batch. There's quite a lot of new ones coming out. I don't know what that is, and I didn't see the play, but to me Barbara Streisand can't miss. She's just great, and she's an exciting talent and unbelievable personality. Musicals of the size of the ones that are coming out are totally different, really, than we've ever had before, because we've had before, I mean the ones that I've been associated with, even the Bandwagon, which is a good size, and Funny Face is a good size. All those have been good size as they were, but they weren't the West Side Story size, and they weren't the Finian size, and these other pictures that are coming out. I so many names I can't remember. There's Oliver, and there's Funny Girl, and there's later on Hello Dolly, and there's Sweet Charity, and there's something else. These are big shows. They're going to be big shows. They're going to be gassers, as I would say. You know, they're all aimed that way, and they've got very big budgets, and they're going to be big box office. Well, musicals have always been the biggest box office things in pictures, but The Sound of Music's Prude is the biggest picture of all time. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever touched it. Well, maybe Gone with the Wind might someday, but I don't think it has yet. But in a general rule, musicals on the New York stage have always been the biggest grocers, because they're bigger, and they've always been the biggest in pictures, but for a while they were out. That's all. Musicals were out, and everybody says, "Well, when are they coming back?" I said, "Brother, they ain't coming back. They're here." Mm-hmm. There's an awful lot of them.
Yeah.
And some may be better than others and all that, but they're all big ones, and they don't make a musical nowadays. Unless, I mean, of the type that I'm talking, the big ones, I mean, they don't make those big cost movies unless there's something to make it on, like such as the reputation of Finian's Rainbow, or the past reputation and the score and all this kind of thing, or Hello Dolly, or next year that'll be out, and then others. I mean, I mentioned West Side Story. I mean, that was an automatic kind of thing to make because it was a big Broadway success. So if you get that and do it right, I don't see how you can miss.
But most of your, or a great many of the films in which you appeared were originals.
Yes, that's right.
Originals and concepts.
It's difficult to do that. Mary Poppins was an original. Mm-hmm. And Walt Disney did a marvelous job with that. I'm one who liked Dr. Doolittle. And I'm certainly alone in that, because more people...
Arthur Jacobs liked it,
too. Well, I hope he does. He should. I liked it, I began to think they hated me because I liked... I mean, a few people said, oh, what are you talking about? Well, I said, I saw a whole lot in it, and it was something I could go safely to see. I could tell my mother to go see it, friends or something. It isn't that I'm a prude. I don't mind a little spice here and there, but I don't think it's necessary, and especially I don't like it in a musical too much. And that the secret of some, to my mind, of a really good musical is when you don't have to worry about whether you can take somebody to see it. I don't want to sit in a theater, I go out on a special night to see something that's rough. It has to be rough, but I want to take my mother to it, particularly. She probably enjoy it more than I would. She's marvelous, my mother.
in the creation of your numbers, they always, at least to me, always seem very precise and very intricate and detailed. And does the music, the arrangements, and the dance develop simultaneously, or does one balance off the other?
What I usually do, I get a creative piano player for rehearsal pianist, and we work it out. We work out the musical ideas pretty much exactly what we want. In fact, I have to often write some of the music to connect one phase to another. And he would take it down, or vice versa. He would. Do it for me as I describe it to him, or something like that, and then it develops the way the number goes. I mean, on this television show, all that treatment of Limehouse Blues was all done as we went along. We had a very excellent woman who did that for us, and then she gave it to the arranger Neil Hefti, and Neil Hefti got it on orchestra. Yeah, so you have to do that. In order to get a thing and make it yours, you just don't take and play one chorus after another. You know, you have to have incidental bars here and there and stops and timing, which we do. We create that. That's a hard job. It's one of the toughest things of all. Sometimes you get there and you say, well, now what have I got to take me from here to there, and what the build up, and well, I mean, it's what every choreographer has to go through. They all have to figure that out, unless it's a ballet you're doing and then you've just performed somebody's ballet. I find it interesting to work to a record, like in the television shows that I've had. I've used and been inspired by certain records, and one was The Look of Love, which was Brazil 66 recording, and I like working with a piece like that and getting some. We got an idea with that, which I think worked well, and it was a comedy idea, but we both ended up by falling all over the place, you know. And Barry Chase, to my mind, is so great anyway. She's a wonderful performer, wonderful dancer, and this suited her. She came at me like gangbusters with a gold chain we had around her neck and ensnared and enticed me into this thing. Well, do you remember it was done? Yeah. I had a mustache, mm-hmm. and it was a very Edwardian look, yeah. or something. And we kidded the whole thing, and being so darn proper, got this look of love, and I got into a kind of a phony ballroom idea dance, in which I went right on my ear in the middle of it, which I loved watching it myself. I really, that's one of the things I like to watch. And then we finally got her down there, too.
Anything you haven't done that you want to do in terms of your work?
Not particularly.
We've been talking to a choreographer, actor, Fred Astaire, who is, over the years has told us where it was in musical films, and with Finian's Rainbow, I think he's showing us where it's at.
We wish to thank Mr. Astaire, Mr. Joseph Landon, producer of Finian's Rainbow, and Mr. Sidney Gannis of Warner Brothers Seven Arts for making this show possible. Next week, Bruce Kane and I will talk with Phil Feldman, producer of the Francis Ford Coppola film, You're a Big Boy Now, and the forthcoming motion picture, The Wild Bunch, directed by Sam Peckinpah. 1/24 of a Second was produced and directed by Don Simons in conjunction with Cinema Magazine and Random House Incorporated. My name is Joel Reisner. Thank you for listening.